All right, so people, if you can grab a seat, we're going to get started again. And for the next talk, we have David talking about an XDP virtual server to run an eBPF load balancer library. So there you go.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm David. I'm going to show you how you can build a high-capacity load balancing application with XDP and Go. Hope this goes well. A bit of stress because the cat sitter locked herself outside the house and my partner had to dash home. So I'm a little bit on edge. Right. So work for Global Radio. It's the UK's largest commercial broadcaster. And up until some time ago, we were running legacy hardware load balancer appliances handling all of our traffic. And they'd reached end of life. We host websites, live audio streaming, which is the bulk of the traffic, audio on demand, and some video. Look, over 30 gigabit a day during the day at peak. And there's a mix of these high bandwidth media services, which are public, and lower bandwidth business services, so stuff we do with partners, uploading ad copy or whatever. But we're encountering some ephemeral port exhaustion bug for NAT services, which affected both sets of services because we had to reboot the appliances occasionally. We could delay it, but still be kicking 100,000 listeners off to fix it, which, you know, it's not great. So we thought we could move the bulk of the traffic to a simpler high-capacity load balancer, which would leave less work for a more sophisticated, featureful solution, do TLS offload and WAF and that sort of thing. And should create a more resilient platform. Wouldn't necessarily see the same bug, but why mix the different classes of services? Media apps are like Icecast that we use, are really quite simple. It's IPv4, layer 4, load balancing only, so just TCP, UDP, no HTTP headers or anything like that to take into account. And it's direct server return at layer 2. So what is direct server return, I hear you ask? Also known as direct routing, or F5 calls NPath. Basically, the packet gets sent by the client, comes in through your firewall router, hits the load balancer. Load balancer just updates the MAC addresses in the Ethernet header to set itself as the source and the backend that it's selected as the destination, forwards it onto the backend, which can see that the IP address, which has been unchanged here, 192.168.100.1, it's got that on its loopback address, so it responds to it, replies directly to the client. So you've got this asymmetric route for your packet. So the packet's unchanged, apart from decrementing TTL. There's no port mapping you can do. You can't translate port 80 to 8080 or anything like that. All the backends must share the same VLAN with the load balancer because it's layer 2. Virtual addresses must be on the back ends. There's no ephemeral ports allocated or anything like that. Basically, you don't allocate really anything. So you can have millions of connections through a single load balancer. There's no state necessary to keep, strictly. So you can fail over to different load balancers in the same way as you could do with a router, essentially as a router. But we want to make sure that the same back end is chosen after a change to the pool of back ends. I'll skip over this really just for brevity, but essentially the packet can take any route to get to the back end, layer 7 load balancer in this case, and we should be able to fail over between these at will and without breaking connections. So consider a few things. Google Maglev, it's some great blog pieces, and it's a really good consistent hashing algorithm for back end server selection, but it's not open source, so go with that. Same thing for Cloudflare, Unimog, not open source, discount that. GitHub load balancer looked interesting, but to fully utilize it, you need to run a kernel module on the back ends. We didn't want to change anything, so that seemed a bit of a stretch. And it used to be DPDK, I don't know if that's changed now, but the main thing was layer 3, uses layer 3 tunneling rather than layer 2. For selecting the back ends, so essentially encapsulating the packet in another IP layer. So we didn't want to do that because we'd have to change all the services which use it. Just really wanted to do a like-for-like swap. Catran, that looked a bit more promising, but again, it's layer 3 only, and also it's C++, and it's really a library, and I don't do any C++, so don't do that. There's the IPVS as well, traditional ones, but I couldn't find a way that you could get away without configuring a VIP locally on the load balancer itself, which I thought could, you know, potentially result in exposing services like SSH. And also issues with accurately doing health checks against the VIPs on the back-end servers. So I thought, why not try building something with XDP and eBPF? Directory server return is straightforward to implement, just updating MAC addresses. Catran shows that it's possible to do something like this. We just need a VIP to be configured on the back-end loopback interface. That's already done, so no change there. And yeah, we're just updating MAC addresses. Should be easy to do. How hard could it be? Turns out, not very hard at all. Here's a program, eBPF XDP program, which will do load balancing on a single VIP for all traffic. Define the VIP at the top, produce a list of your backends there. Got to match the packet, modify the Ethernet header, and then forward it on its way. And you should be able to do like 10 gig line rate, no problem with this, with just a couple of calls. Take a couple of tens of nanoseconds maybe to handle each packet. Obviously, though, this is inflexible. You'd need to recompile it and reload it to change backends. There's no health checking, so you'll end up black-holing a lot of traffic if a backend is down. Backend selection is poor. It's just a... You want to use a suitable hash algorithm instead, something like a consistent hashing algorithm, which maximizes the chance of hitting the same backend after a pool change, unlike traditional hash table modulo table size like this, which breaks the majority of connections if anything changes. So we need a way of making this flexible. So we'll go with eBPF maps. We want to store service and destination info, VIPs, backend IP addresses, backend MAC addresses, that kind of thing. We want to be able to map VLAN IDs to interface indexes so that we can use BPF redirect map. We could deal with either native interfaces or VLAN trunks. Backend selection, we want to choose a destination and track the flow to it to preserve connections when the pool changes and use a good consistent hashing algorithm. We want to keep account of packets and octets and any errors to each VIP service backend for monitoring. And for various reasons, we might want to push packets to user space with a queue for analysis or relaying or flow state sharing. That's what we need to actually in the kernel, the eBPF code. What about user space? So we need some control plane functions to add or remove services and backends and enable or disable them or change their parameters. We'll be able to send a ping to trigger ARP discovery and then read MAC addresses from PropNet ARP. We can discover local interfaces, IF index numbers for them, hardware MAC addresses, and local IP addresses. Anything else we might need to know, like bonding and trunking. And we need to ensure that each VIP is present on backends to avoid blackholing packets. It's not enough to know that a web server is running, it needs to be listening on the VIP that you're using. So, wrote the XVS library. It borrows the interface from